together today. Thank you, Josh and company, for your efforts and for the Kaisers and cooking and such, including the children. Thank you. Anyway, what a blessing. I trust you've been encouraged and helped in some way today. I want to run through a few kind of practical thoughts, mostly about if you're in authority, And then I want to spend some time in Acts 20, which is Paul's exhortation to elders. I think you'll find that helpful and inspiring. You know how Nathaniel quoted Joe Reese. I was going to try to do it, but it just wouldn't be the same, you know? So you have to be a fool to want to be an elder. It's an interesting thing, like when you tell somebody, it's kind of like, think about athletics, right? You tell someone about how hard something's going to be, it can inspire people. Right? It's an interesting phenomenon. As you can tell young men about how challenging it'll be to be elders, and they're like, oh, I'm going to try to do it. That's what I'm hoping for. Because we need godly young men to be developing into godly older men that can lead the people of God. It's critical. Titus, Paul says, Titus 1:5, I left you in Crete, people have preached the gospel, people got saved, I left you in Crete to appoint elders in each church. So that was critical, to have elders functioning in each local church and leading those local churches. Because he says, verse 10, that there's people that are coming along with false teaching and it's messing up whole families. That's my paraphrase. Right? And you can see that that does actually happen. You get false teaching that really is very disruptive. So the solution is to have solid, godly, reliable, scripture-knowing, scripture-teaching men that are capable of standing up for the Lord. So I hope that's of some inspiration. One of the brothers named James in our discussion earlier was saying about how really a lot of that starts in the private. How are you going to know the Word unless you spend time in the Word? That's the only way, right? So you need to get good discipline, good practices of filling your life with the Word of God, developing, studying it. I've shared with some younger brothers that, honestly, I studied the Bible the most during college. Now, that sounds crazy, right? I was studying a technical field, which was, you know, not easy, and yet somehow I had time to study Daniel and Colossians and Romans and like, really digest it. So, you know, don't wait. You don't need to be 40 years old before you really get serious about studying the Bible. Do it when you're 20. You have a good mind. You're kind of in study mode, so go for it. You know, outline the book of Romans, get the flow of thought, key words, you know, all that's fun. And it's edifying. There's more important than that's fun. Right? And you can be a blessing to other people as a result of that. Okay, so, let's see if we can convince this thing to work. There we go. I'd love to talk about that more, but yeah, maybe you could check out Psalm 72, 2 Samuel 23, just about the Lord Jesus being this premier example of an authority that blesses because of him being an authority. Like when the Lord Jesus reigns over the earth during the millennial reign of Christ, Revelation chapter 20, which is, I think, what's in view in Psalm 72, it's going to be a great time. You know, a good, solid leader brings blessing to those under their leadership. Right? He shall be like the light of the morning, like a morning without clouds. That's what 2 Samuel 23 says. That's how blessed it's going to be. Boaz would be another great example to think about as a good example of a man who was strong to bless. You know, men like to be strong, right? They do their push-ups, their bench, right? Flex, right? But it's even better to be strong such that it benefits other people. You're a blessing to people in your strength. Alright, so one question before I run through the other ones. When should we not submit? I'm just going to very quickly touch this because I have it on my heart to get into Acts 20 more. When should we not submit? So you can think about a couple texts, maybe like Acts 4, like Daniel 6, when they didn't submit. And that was because the government authority was telling them to do something or to not do something that God had told them to do or to not do. And so they didn't submit to the government authority. And that has in view this idea that there's an ultimate authority, God, and the rest of the delegated authority. If the delegated authority is saying to do something that you know is out of line with God and what he has said to do, that would be the time. But let's keep in mind that that's the exception, not the rule. That shouldn't be the general flow of our life, is we're always bucking against authority because God said something. That shouldn't be, you don't see that common throughout the Word of God. We should instead be generally characterized by submission. All right, take a look at Romans 16. Romans 16. On these cards, which are in the back, first of all, even if you never go to the YouTube channel, perhaps the card be a blessing. It says, Christ is enough. Hang it on your refrigerator, put it in your car, whatever. So you can forget about Bruce Holsett, it doesn't matter. But on the cards on the back, there is an email address if you wanted to get in touch. One sister asked about getting the slides. I'm happy to share them. Or you could use that to get in touch with an even wiser person, namely my wife, if you wanted to, especially sister, that is, that we can connect you with Amy. Who perhaps would have some good insights to be a blessing to you. Alright, so Romans chapter 16. Romans 16, 1 to 16 are some of my favorite verses. Hopefully they are for you as well. Because they picture a vibrant, healthy assembly life. Even beyond just a local assembly. It's like the life of the church functioning with different people doing different things, loving one another, interested in one another, blessing one another. For example, there's Rufus's mom, who Paul says in verse 13, his mother and mine. Like, she was such a blessing to Paul. She was like a mother to Paul. What a great thing. But then you get to verse 17. In contrast to that rich fellowship, cooperative spirit in the assembly, verse 17 says, now I urge you, brothers, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances. So here's people that are troublemakers. They cause disruption in assembly life instead of helping assembly life. Keep your eye on them, who cause just dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you have learned, and turn away from them. For such people are slaves not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites. So they're not in it for the Lord, they're in it for themselves. So you see this kind of self-centered character about people. Avoid them. Don't go along with them. Don't support them. Don't enable them to live self-centered lives, because that is not what the Lord wants. And so, sadly, you can have this happen in assembly life, that there's people that are intentionally not submissive, right? They're really looking to overthrow, they're subversive and rough. And it might be by whispering, right, that they're behind the scenes, they're just stirring up trouble in the assembly. And he's saying, saints, don't go along with them. Notice it. Don't ignore it. Notice it and say, I'm not going along with that at all. Because they're causing dissensions and hindrances. They hinder the gospel going forward. They stir up trouble in the assembly. He says, by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. And it could be a variety of things. It could be a sob story, right? How mistreated they've been. But be cautious. Be careful about that. They might be just trying to get you on their side. For the report of your obedience has reached everyone. Therefore, I am rejoicing over you, but I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. So God, the God of peace, he wants harmony in the assembly. So don't be playing along with people. Don't be enabling people that are troublemakers in the assembly. May the Lord give us good discernment in that. And as we cooperate with this direction from the Lord, peace and harmony can happen in the assembly. Alright, this one we kind of already touched on, so I'm just going to mention it. Be cautious about being an opinionated critic. I think Keith and I both hinted at that earlier, and Josh did as well. Just be careful about that. And some of these are just practical thoughts, even from maybe my experience. Value those who are over me who are concerned about me. Amy likes to tell the story about we were newly married. She had a job at a doctor's office. The Lord granted that we were expecting a child. The Lord allowed that she was throwing up every 20 minutes, night and day. So going with the patient, go throw up, going with the patient, go throw up. This was the life of my wife a few months into marriage. And her husband said, you need to quit your job. And she likes to tell the account that she struggled with that because she likes working. I don't know that she likes throwing up, but she likes working. And she felt like she was helping out. But eventually it dawned on her that submitting doesn't necessarily mean someone's telling me to do something I don't want to do. Though it could be, I want to keep working, but they actually are concerned for my well-being. So I'm submitting to someone who's concerned for me who loves me, so I'm cooperating with that input in their life. So realize that people in authority over you, you know, maybe they're looking at things more broadly than you are, and you want to be willing to cooperate with them. I have found this statement so helpful throughout life. Perhaps you've heard it before. It's not exactly a quote from the Bible, but it's essentially a summary of what the Lord Jesus said. Do to others as you would have them do to you. I found it very helpful, whether I'm in authority or under authority, that I'd want to function according to that. A couple of the things I'm going to say after this really draw from that idea. But just think about, if I was in authority, what would be helpful? You know, how could I be helpful to them? If I'm under authority or if I'm in authority. I'll give you a few illustrations here. This is helpful, that I want to be willing, if I'm in authority, to distribute responsibility. People struggle to do this, don't they? You agree? Yeah. Because I can do it myself, right? I'll probably do it better. But, so you see it in Moses, this idea of him, like, distributing the responsibility to others, empowering others, if you will. Because really, do it myself is not functioning in authority. It's functioning as an independent unit. A person in authority does distribute responsibility to other people and empowers them to function. That can be a struggle, though, with us. So if I'm in authority, this is part of the do to others as you would have them do to you, I want to communicate clearly downward, if you will, to people under my authority. Think about this in an employment situation, in an assembly situation, in a marriage situation. Put the effort into communicating well and in a winsome way. My counsel. I think if you think about that related to nurturing, right, that would be one of the things I want to do. I don't really want to be known for barking orders. Larry Price is here this morning. He's talking about a brother that was from the military, that in the military, they said, write on one card what looks like to be a leader. In the military, you might think bark orders, right? But what the guy was actually looking for is servant. Interesting, right? You wouldn't think about that with the military. But in general, people don't much appreciate having order barked at them. Anybody agree with me there? I don't like it, you don't like it, so don't do that. That's not how you want to function in authority. There's the time to speak clearly and sternly. Understood, right? But in general, let's work to communicate well in a winsome way. But also, like, people do appreciate people in authority that make decisions. So be willing to make decisions, though, of course, you want to hear people. Give clear guidance. So I'm thinking about this mostly like in an employment kind of situation, a younger person that I'm mentoring. I want to be able to communicate clearly to them what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do that. If I'm in authority and I'm trying to empower people. And then this one's kind of helpful, isn't it? Express appreciation. So if I'm in authority, I can express appreciation to people under my authority for the things that they do. Verbalize it. Maybe you do actually appreciate it, but put the effort into saying thank you. Or that you really did that well. That's excellent how you do that. And then similarly, if I'm under authority, I want to be good at communicating upward to people that are above me in authority. I want to communicate with them. I say to, like, I work part-time still, and I like to say for those that are younger, I want to communicate to people like they're the CEO. They're a busy person, and so I'm going to do all my work to wrap this up in a nice, tidy package that they can then just make a decision on it, right? So I want to be put the effort into being succinct. And, like, have a clear question that I'm asking them, because I'm visualizing them as a busy person. Of course, get authorization when appropriate. I don't subscribe to the it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission idea. Maybe you've heard that one before. I don't think that's very biblical. be timely in your request. Sometimes people will do things at the last minute all the time. That sort of happens sometimes. But maybe it shouldn't happen all the time, because you're almost presuming they're just going to rubber stamp what you asked them to do, right? If I give it to them at the last minute, they only have time to say yes, right? This is a helpful thing. Again, these are just kind of helpful thoughts from life experience. Suggest a solution rather than just complain. Right? This situation is all messed up. Well, how can we fix it? Maybe you can give a couple solutions. Maybe you want to do this, you want to do that. Which one would you like? To someone that's in authority over me. And be willing to be part of the solution. Right? Not just somebody also. I'm willing to help deal with something. And then maybe express appreciation. Now, I don't think that happens very much. People that are good at being in authority express appreciation to people under their authority. I'm not sure that people under authority are very good at expressing appreciation to people in authority. Like in the workplace or in other situations, that is actually that verbalizing. I really appreciate your leadership. It's really helpful. You know, a good leader is really helpful. You hear that? Someone that leads well, it really is beneficial. So maybe you want to let them know. I really like how you do dot, dot, dot. I'm going to get to Acts 20. Okay, value, this is the last one. Value those who lead in difficult situations. So I knew this young man, that quote, that came up with a statement there on the right. It was me. So when I was maybe 30 or something, or 25, I observed that when those who should act don't, those who shouldn't do act. I just observed that in life. That, you know, people that are in authority need to actually deal with things, or people that don't have any authority are going to go ahead and deal with it, and it's not going to be good. Right? And then what happens is, and then I ended up in authority responsibilities, and then I had to apply that to myself, that, oh, okay, like, now the shoe's on my foot, and I actually need to deal with things that I don't feel like dealing with, right? That bother me, I'm not sure that's going to work out, but I need to have the guts to deal with it, in love, in wisdom. And so you should really appreciate people that lead in difficult situations. Now, people that are leading should have the broader view. So think about a child that has maybe multiple children. We had three children, right? One of my children is causing turmoil in the house. For me to correct that child benefits the whole family. My other two children might appreciate that. If I don't correct them, they might try. That's what I'm talking about, people that shouldn't will, right? So child number two is going to punch child number one because child number one is acting out of line and messing up the whole situation. And now the situations have got even more messed up. There's now I've got two children that are out of line, right? So I want to, as a father, as a parent, actually address the problem for the sake of the family atmosphere as a whole. And I think you can see a similar thing with the assembly, that addressing a disruptive person can lead to peace and harmony and health in an assembly. But it's hard. It's challenging. It might be a long time. It might be a lot of effort to try to deal with a hard situation well. And so we should really appreciate those people that step up to deal with difficult situations. I did have one. Address disruption at the lowest possible level. This came up in the Q&A, the Matthew 18. The Matthew 18 direction, someone sins against me, I want to deal with it individually first, then I'll take a witness, then I'm taking it to church. I'm not going to, someone does something wrong to me, I'm going to put that on social media, I'm going to make sure that everybody in the assembly knows about it. That is not what we're after, right? Because we're actually aiming for peace and harmony and love. So I'm going to deal with it at the lowest possible level. I don't need to go to the elders, right? I don't need to go to them first. I'm going to try to get it fixed up, right? We misunderstood each other. Let's get this. Or maybe it was just a positive wrong. They just did something dead wrong. It was inappropriate. They stole from you or something. Let's try to get that fixed. And try to just do it between you and me if possible. Keep it on the lowest possible level. Because it uses the expression, which I love, you've won your brother. That's what your guilt goal is. I want to win my brother. I want to get back into a harmonious relationship with him. All right, take a look at Acts 20. Acts chapter 20. Chapter 20 and verse 17. So we have made reference to this more briefly, where Paul, on his third missionary journey, as he's traveling by, calls for the elders of the church in Miletus, verse 17. Okay, he says, when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time." Notice that he's presenting himself as an example to imitate. "You know how I was with you the whole time. You saw how I conducted myself." And he's calling upon them to imitate his example. What does the example look like? Serving the Lord with all humility, with tears and trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. This is what it looks like to be a leader in the church, if you will. Serving the Lord with all humility, with tears and trials. Verse 20. how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was beneficial, and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, bound by the Spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that chains and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of God's grace. And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all people, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I entrust you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands served my own needs and the men who were with me. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this way, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. See, listen to that last verse, in everything I showed you. So he's presenting himself as an example for these elders to imitate. I think it was the other James that when the men were together mentioned that characteristics of elders are really something that everyone should strive for. That's right, right? Everyone should want to be blameless and should want to have self-control, etc. So think about these exhortations. Perhaps the Lord would have you, has gifted you in shepherding, that you could function as an elder. Perhaps not, but I think that the character traits here really could be an inspiration to all of us. That, notice he said in verse 35, in everything I showed you that by working hard, laboring like this. This is the same Greek word used in 1 Thessalonians 5. We urge you to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. So here's you. I put the wrong reference there. It's not 20, it's 35. Acts 20, 35. I have shown you in every way by laboring, by working hard like this, that you must support the weak. Like, if you're going to be an elder in a local assembly, if you're going to be a leader in the functioning of the body of Christ, this is what it involves. It involves laboring. So the Greek word, to labor with wearisome effort, to grow exhausted. This is what it is involved. Laboring. Hopefully at least one of you is inspired by that. I'm in. I'm willing to work hard for the sake of God's interests. I'm willing to labor with wearisome effort to care for the people of God. It's going to be hard work. You can notice some of the attributes from what Paul says here. Notice the emphasis on from the first day, the whole time, night and day, in everything. I admonished each one. Notice how universal his ministry was, his care for the people of God. From the start, the whole time along, every aspect of it, night and day, everybody. This is the kind of ministry that Paul had. And he's saying, this is what it looked like as you, as a servant of the Lord that's leading the flock of God that's among you. Here's just some words that kind of summarize Paul's example. Consistent, laboring, humble, trying, persevering, abounding, using every opportunity, selflessness, public and private teaching, serious in his testifying to the gospel. They just comment about this using every opportunity things. One of the stores that's very successful in the United States is called a C, such as a C store. Like Wawa, Sheets. Convenience store. Yeah, it's very convenient. Yeah, Costco, right? Costco might be successful too. But it's very convenient. A lot of things that we serve the Lord are not convenient. I just want to be plain about that. Are you in? Your cave is not convenient. You're still going to do it anyway. You're still going to labor hard in inconvenient things. He apparently was available at all hours, you know, night and day. Anybody ever get tired? I get tired sometimes. Yeah. But a shepherd is going to be putting in the time even when he's feeling tired. Because it's needed. Long-term investing. Like, he kept admonishing them, he says. Like, I kept out. It's like, you know, if Josiah doesn't get it the first time I say it to him, forget about it. I'm moving on. You know, it's just stupid. Right? No, that's not how the shepherd's going to function. He's like, all right, I communicated it. Doesn't seem to be sinking in. Maybe we need to get coffee again. I'm going to try to communicate it again, right? Yeah, just that long-term investing. I'm going to stick at it. Personal investing, right? It wasn't just that he was a public figure, right? He wasn't famous on social media. It's kind of easy to do that in one sense, right? But for me to personally invest in the people of God and I put time into them, I mentioned getting coffee with somebody. It takes a bunch of time, doesn't it? I'm going to organize my life so that I have time to invest in the people of God. Personal investing. Passionate investing. It says that he, verse 31, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease admonishing each one with tears. With tears. Like, he was in from the heart, wasn't he? Heart concern for the well-being of people of God. Yeah. Putting in a lot of effort is what it looks like to be useful in the work of God, as seen in Paul. He refers to ministering to the weak. You know, we sometimes would only want to minister to people that seem important, or that maybe could pay us back, if you will. Right? Instead of, I'm just going to love people and serve them, because that's like the Lord Jesus, and He loves them. So I love them, and I want Him to love them through me. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So as I look at my life, how much of my life goes to blessing other people versus how much my thought is about people blessing me? Right? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Even the Lord Jesus said that also. So may the Lord encourage us and inspire us even to look at that. It's interesting he mentions more than once some knots, like what he didn't do. And there are things like, I didn't shrink back from saying what God once said. Why would one do that? Because he's concerned about how people might respond to it. Right? It might be awkward. So he didn't shrink back. He didn't preserve his life for his own enjoyment, even for his own safety. Yeah, there's a natural tendency to do that, isn't there? I'm going to look out for preserving my own interests, my own safety, my own enjoyment. I like that stuff, right? He didn't shrink back from saying some of what God wanted said. He says that in verse 27. Right? You can kind of be like, oh, I said it. Kind of. Yeah, but he didn't really hit the nail on the head of what really needed to be said to somebody. He didn't quit in admonishing people, in trying to encourage people to go in the right direction. He didn't quit. That was my illustration of just I didn't get the first time, but if he doesn't get it after the second time, I'm done, right? He's stuck with it, stuck with ministry to the people of God's heart. He wasn't in it seeking gain for himself. So these five knots he points out. So I just offer this as a kind of, hopefully an inspiration. Paul offers it to the elders. I offer it to you that perhaps 5 years from now, 10 years from now, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, would be putting it in your heart, young men, to care for the people of God, to shepherd the people of God. Am I exaggerating? Like, would you have to be 50 to be an elder? I don't think you do. And maybe the Lord's already stirring up a desire. But what I want to do is make sure that you're kind of signing up for something that you know what you're signing up for, right? You can say, oh, wow, that sounds great. This is going to be a lot of fun, right? So we're talking about time investment, repetition. You have to do the same thing over and over again. If that's super annoying to you, maybe this isn't for you, right? Heart aim, like you're not aiming on just like painting over. You actually want heart transformation, which means you have to put a lot of work in it from your own heart to their heart. You're dealing with real people, ministering to real people. Inconvenience, in many different kinds of ways, inconvenience. And heart effort. So it's going to be a bit tiring if you're going to really minister to the people of God and serve the people of God. So where's the energy going to come from? Where's the drive going to come from? Which we see in the text here as well. What are the drivers to this? I like the word diligence. Like a diligent person is kind of self-motivated, right? They do things when nobody else is looking because they know they need to be done. Like if you're an elder in a local assembly, who's going to tell you you should call so-and-so? The Holy Spirit, right? Yeah, the Holy Spirit is going to tell you. Maybe a fellow elder, right? It could be. But it's probably going to be, it's going to have to come from you, right? So then, nobody actually knows that the Holy Spirit told you you should call so-and-so. You've got to be diligent. You have to be in. You need to be self-motivated, if you will, in the right sense, not for your own glory, right? For the benefit of the people of God. So, first of all, a devotion to the Lord Jesus. He saw himself as a steward of the Lord Jesus. That's going to keep you going, if you can see myself as, the Lord Jesus wants me to do this, so I'm going to do it. Love for the sheep. Paul's like, you've got to be paying attention and shepherding the church of God because there's going to come wolves. I know it is. So you're going to have concern for the sheep. There's going to be people that are trying to mess with the sheep. He presents himself as a good example. And, of course, the Lord Jesus as the premier example, right? Remember what the Lord Jesus said? It's more blessed to give than to receive. But he presents himself as a good example. So, I think that's helpful. That I can look at Paul's life, but I can also look at other people's lives. For example, there's this nice book that you two could get. I didn't write it. Called Agape Leadership, Lessons in Spiritual Leadership from the Life of R.C. Chapman. Right? So I can say, wow, I am not anywhere close to how he conducted himself in these situations, but I'd like to be like him. And so we get good examples to imitate that can keep us going. The power of imitation. And then dependence upon God himself and the word of his grace. Paul says, I'm going to commit you to God and the word of his grace. That's what's going to keep you going. So these are the drivers that really are going to allow us, keeping the Lord in view, a real genuine love for the people of God, some good examples to imitate, especially the Lord Jesus, and then dependence upon the Lord and on his word. It's kind of like David strengthens himself in the Lord. You need to be good at that. You're going to need to know the God of encouragement and perseverance. You're going to have to be in fellowship with him yourself. All right, let's just end with this. This was on the advertisement, if you will. Subject yourselves to one another in the fear of Christ. As I look at my life, is there this character, this overall submissive spirit that's evident in my life? Hopefully you got that message kind of from the beginning, this idea of humility. Of I'm willing to do anything. Nothing's too low for me because I'm just following the Lord Jesus. Nothing was too low for him. I can work with people. Again, I'll refer to something I think Keith said over with the brothers, that it's really good now in your life to learn how to work with other people. If someday you were going to be an elder, you need to work with other people. Elders, plural, right? It's kind of teamed, if you will. I'm going to need to be able to hear them. They might have different thoughts than mine. They might have different speed that they do things than I might think, right? Maybe I'm faster, maybe I'm slower, right? So I need to be able to realize that and be able to cooperate with other people, allowing other people to even make decisions. And then these are three of the things that we had noted earlier. I'm just saying in a little different way. If I can remember that I'm dead, Christ lives in me. That's the way to live the Christian life. If I can remember that I already have everything in Christ, so I don't need anything, I can help me go forward in actually having a submissive spirit. If I can remember that God is actually, in fact, actively sovereign. I put a lot of adjectives in front of that. If God is actually sovereign right now, do you agree with that? It's good to practice that. That will help me be submissive in situations. In situations and with people. The Lord's sovereign over it. Nothing has got out of God's control in the present moment, and so I can have a humility, I can have a settledness before the Lord. Alright, so let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenges, the encouragement, the inspiration that comes from it. Father, I want to actively present these young men and young women before you, Lord Jesus. They're a treasure. They're a treasure to you. They're a treasure in the present. They're a treasure for the future. And we know that them learning to walk in humility and lowliness, them being able to have a cooperative spirit with fellow believers, them having a complete devotion to honoring the Lord Jesus in their lives, He who is Lord, would be so valuable for the days ahead, for the glory, Father, of your Son. And so I'd like to ask you very much, Father, because of the Lord Jesus, that you would work in their hearts and teach them these things, establish them in the truth. Help them to not get crushed by this crazy world, to not get destroyed by the lies that are in it, to instead find your ways attractive, to instead find their hearts, by the power of the Holy Spirit, drawn to be like Christ for real, so long that he would get the glory in everything, not any of me getting the glory, that all I care about is the Lord Jesus being honored, that there would be a attraction to your design of male and female. That was very good. And that they might have the privilege of practicing that actively themselves in their situations. And for those that perhaps, Lord Jesus, that you're raising up by the Holy Spirit to shepherd the flock of God in the future, really give them that conviction that being well established in actual godliness, in lowliness, in service, in love, deepen their hearts of love. Real concern for the well-being of others, even at their expense. We thank you, Father. Thank you for this day together. In the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.